The Baseball Bat, Chapter 9, A Glance. On Saturday, we beat the Indians. I got a solid hit, but also struck out for the first time this season. I wondered how I would react when I struck out. Some players slam the baseball bat down. Some say something under their breath. Others just walk back to the bench. I don't strike out much. I like to hit the first good pitch because I want to have as few pitches as possible to lower my chance of getting hit by the pitch. After fouling off two pitches, I swung and missed at a pitch that might have been too high. You might think with my history that I would have chosen a more violent reaction, but I just walked back to the bench the same way I walked up to the bat. I heard the coach say, "Tom, you took some good cuts at the ball." There was no one to blame, so why get mad? I had done a good job of putting the ball in play all year. Maybe I surprised some people with my calm reaction. I know my mother was probably holding her breath. Maybe some players need to do crazy things and yell to let everyone know that they can be better. I prefer drawing as little attention to myself with something embarrassing. In my last at bat of the game, I thought about bunting after the strikeout, but I hadn't practiced bunting very much. It had been difficult to practice bunting when my main source of batting practice was hitting rocks that I had tossed up into the air. The first pitch came right toward me. I turned and the ball hit me in the back. I had seen other boys hit the ground crying when this happened, but I was not going to do that. I just stood there for a minute, assessing whether I was still alive and could still breathe. I heard the umpire say, "Take your base." I took off running to first because I saw Coach coming out to check on me. I wanted to avoid Coach treating me like a child. I wanted to be a man about this situation. When I got to first, the first base coach looked at me and asked if I was okay. I looked at him and said, "I'm fine," even though I could feel my back hurting. I wasn't planning on stealing, but the next pitch got by the catcher, so I took off for second. In the Mustang League method of official scoring, that was a stolen base. As it turns out, there were two more balls that got by the catcher, which got me to third and home. All stolen bases in my scoring system. We won the game 7-6, and my run being the seventh and winning run. After the game, I was congratulated more for taking one for the team, meaning getting hit and possibly hurt on purpose and eventually scoring, than I did for my solid hit earlier and my good play at first base. I was even asked if I got hit deliberately to get the winning run on base. I decided to just go with it and say yes, that we needed a runner, so I took the pitch. The truth was, I certainly didn't get hit by the pitch on purpose this time or any time throughout my baseball career. But if this is what made me the hero, going along with it was the best choice. As it turns out, it was the only time I got hit by the pitch all year. I did have a ball mark on my back for several days, but it went away. I talked to Stan a little after the game and we congratulated each other. He told me there wasn't going to be a neighborhood game on Sunday. He said he would let me know about the date of the next one. I really wanted Stan to be my friend, so I tended to overly be friendly toward him. I decided to try a joke with him and ask, "How do you catch a bear?" I paused and then said, "Cut a hole in the ice and put a bunch of peas around it. And when the bear comes to take a pee, kick him in the hole." I had forgotten about the ice hole. He laughed, and then he had one for me. "Okay, why is 9 afraid of 7? "Because 7, 8, 9, we both laughed. After getting back from the grocery store where I had begged my mother for ding-dongs, I asked to go down to the lake. Gramps was out washing his truck, so I asked if I could take a boat out. Gramps agreed, but first asked how the game went. I told him how I scored the winning run. I rode around the lake close to shore and spotted this girl who I thought was very beautiful. She looked about my age. I had never seen her before. She was sitting out in a lounge chair in a blue flowered bikini with her hair parted down the middle. It flowed almost to her waist. She looked at me. I quickly looked away and just kept rowing. I just couldn't stop thinking about her. Who was she? Why hadn't I ever seen her before? What school did she attend? I got back and pulled the boat up on shore and went over and asked Gramps who lived in the big house with the white brick and the dock. Gramps said, "Oh, that's where Doris and Hank live. Hank likes to have his children and grandchildren out on weekends." Gramps, I just saw the girl of my dreams there. Oh, she must be one of Hank's grandchildren who live out in Livonia. Maybe she's visiting this weekend. Did you talk to her? Did you offer her a ride? No, she is beautiful. How could I talk to a girl that beautiful? How do you talk to ordinary girls? I thought about this and said, I guess it's easier because I don't have to worry about blowing it with a possible girlfriend. Gramps said, so by not talking to her, you have a better chance of having her as your girlfriend? As usual, Gramps provided solid logic. I headed home thinking about what he had said. On Saturday night, my mother wanted me to spend some time with Grandma and Grandpa Moshina, and I asked her, "So, are you going out with Mr. Pete? By the way, is that his last name or his first name?" My mother replied, "I assumed it was his first name, but I'm not sure. His truck has a sign, Pete's Electrical. Maybe it's his last name." "Yes, he asked me out again." I wanted to say a few more derogatory things, but I decided to only say, "Maybe his name is Peter Pete." It was good catching up with my grandparents and hearing about how the Detroit Tigers were in first place. Grandpa Moshina told me the Tigers had won big again, 12-2, but he talked more about the weird tie game the night before when the umpires had to call the game after 7 innings with the score tied 2-2. He told me they didn't finish the game, but the game counted as a tie. Each player's statistics counted towards their season totals, and they still played a makeup game. The rule of having tie games is not in existence today. On Sunday, I thought another rowboat ride was in order, and Gramps kindly obliged me. I rowed over to the same house, but this time no one was outside. I still didn't have a plan of what I was going to say. Maybe if she saw me, she would want to start the conversation with me. I rode back and spent the rest of the day listening to music. I somehow found this dream girl in the lyrics of almost every song.